To start off, let's just go ahead, turn over to Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. This is where we're going to start tonight. And tonight is lesson 10. We're starting off in lesson 10, and it's called Standard Gospel Questions. Now you're going to understand as we go. So in Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, we've already hit the scripture here, but it kind of prefaces why I'm going through this. But in Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." A lot of people in the Christian world agree with that statement. They believe and they agree that because of what Adam did, they were made sinful. In other words, they were born with the sin nature. That's not what people choke on. It's what the next verse says. It says, "So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous." And so we all have recognized that because of what Adam did, we were made sinful. Where people have a problem with is because of what Jesus did, we're made righteous. Because that's good news. How many of you know that's good news? And so how many of you have discovered that it wasn't what you did that made you a sinner? It was because you were a sinner that caused you to do the things you did. And so a lot of people don't understand that. And so it's the same way that your sin actions didn't produce a sin nature. It's also not your righteous actions that produce a righteous nature. So therefore, if it wasn't your actions that produced your nature, but what someone else did, either Adam or Jesus, then it's not your actions. Like if you're in Christ and you've come to Christ, and He's made you righteous. He's made you righteous. How many of you know He's made you righteous? How many of you know when God says something, it's so? But some people say, well, God says it's so, even though it really isn't so. In other words, God just says you're righteous even though you're not righteous. How many of you know that's just because we're looking at ourselves in the flesh? When God says something, it is so. You know God cannot lie. So if God were to tell what we consider a lie, it would no longer be a lie. It would then be the truth. Does that make sense? So if God says you're righteous, it's because you are. And so it's only because of what Jesus did. So our sin actions, even though as a born-again believer we still blow it and we still sin, that does not mean that that affects our righteous nature and makes us sinful again. We were made sinful because of what Adam did, not because of what we did. And we were made righteous because of what Jesus did, not because of what we did. That's the message of the gospel. And so once people understand that their performance, either good or bad, doesn't affect their born-again spirits or their relationship with God, serious questions usually arise. One of them is this: since God will love me and I won't lose my right standing with Him no matter what, can I just go live in sin? Now, the question is, do you want to? Sometimes people ask questions that are moot. Doesn't make sense, they're asking. Are you telling me that I can go out right now and kill someone and I'm still saved? I ask, do you want to go out and kill someone? No. Well, then why are you asking this? People like to come up with all these scenarios to try to overcome God's goodness. How many of you know what I'm saying? Surely if I were to do this, I would lose my salvation. Do you want to do this? Well, no. So why are we talking about this? You see how the devil gets us to fight over stuff that are irrelevant. I don't want to go out there and kill people. I don't want to go out there and live in adultery. I don't. Why? Well, we're going to see this as we keep going tonight. But here's one of the reasons. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. We're going to read off the sheet so that we save some time tonight. But in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and the first part of verse 2 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" That was because the very last verse of Romans chapter 5 and verse 21 says, "As sin reigned," or actually verse 20, "moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more." So people heard what Paul said and said, okay, the way to abound in grace is to sin. That wasn't what he was teaching. What he was saying is that there's no sin big enough that God's grace can't deal with and hasn't dealt with in Jesus Christ. So what shall we say then? Romans 6, verse 1 and 2. "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Paul answers it, "God forbid." In other words, no. That's not what he's asking. But unless this question comes up through your ministering the word, you aren't preaching the same gospel as the Apostle Paul. Because people asked him every time he said this, wait a minute, are you saying I can go live just as a heathen does and everything's cool? because the way he was preaching it as this good news, this free gift, people were trying to, two different types of people I've discovered. One type of person wants to live for God, and they're saying, is this what you're saying? Because they don't want to keep living in sin. Are you saying that this is the life that I should have? That's one group. The other group is, are you saying I get to keep, I can still have all my girlfriends? I can still do these things? I can still go out carousing and all these things? Are you still saying that? The question is, do you want to? See, that's the question. And as we keep seeing tonight, when we came to Jesus, he changed our very nature. And that's why we teach these things, to then give people the understanding so that they can now walk in their new nature. Because many Christians are frustrated because they want to live right, but they haven't gotten to the word for themselves, or they haven't been hearing the right things, and it's kept them in bondage instead of setting them free. And they want to live right, but they don't know how to live right. And they don't get a lot of times they don't get very good answers when they go and they talk to other believers. But unless this question comes up, you aren't preaching the same gospel as the Apostle Paul. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse 8. And I'm just going to read this. And Paul's speaking and he says, and why not say, let us do evil that good may come, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we'd say, their condemnation is just. In other words, people were saying, you're saying do evil that good may come. He said, that's what they say we teach, but that's not what we teach. How many of you know there are people out there that say, man, watch out for those people who teach on grace. They're giving people a license to sin. Grace is a license to sin. Let me ask you this question. How many of you remember before you came to Christ? How many of you sinned? How many of you were hearing grace and that's why you started sinning? None of us. Folks, I sinned like the best of them. I'm not going to sit there and go through all that stuff. It's irrelevant. I don't talk about my past life and brag about it. I brag about Christ. But understand what I'm saying. I wasn't under the teaching of grace. People sin. How many of you understand what I'm saying? People don't need a license to sin. People sin. And I don't care. Even the strongest churches that preach the most harsh messages against sin and keep the people in condemnation, they're all sinning. So that's not keeping people out of sin. As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 6 and verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. So under grace, you're free from sin. It doesn't dominate you. Of course, Romans 6, 1 through 2, they said, shall we do this? Shall we continue in sin? Heaven forbid. That's not what he's teaching. But typical preaching today produces a works righteousness, which is a self-righteousness based on your own actions. So that's what most preaching today is producing, a works righteousness in most believers, because it ties God's love and acceptance to your performance, or at least God's answers to your prayers. I could spend a lot of time on that, but we don't have time. I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. Why can't I get healed? Well, have you been fasting? Have you been doing this? Have you been? And they start listing all the things as to, are you sure you are in the place that you're good enough? And even if they don't intend it, that's the way it comes across. You haven't been praying long enough. You haven't been praying hard enough. You haven't been, or whatever it is. Now, folks, I believe in prayer. Don't misunderstand me. But prayer without relationship is bondage. The Bible doesn't teach that God accepts or rejects you based on your actions. It actually teaches that your actions can never be good enough. If you really study it out, that's what it actually teaches. We have to understand that righteousness is not based on your actions. It's based on you believing in what Jesus did on the cross. We already covered that in Romans 5 and verse 19. Another question arises. Are you saying it doesn't matter how I live? No, that's not what we're saying. If you're truly born again, God has changed your nature. That's what the Bible says. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, right on the page. And it says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Do you notice the reason that Paul says the reason why we don't live in sin? He did not say the question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, heaven forbid. Why? How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? He didn't say, heaven forbid, because if you sin, you lose your salvation. Wouldn't that have been a good place to put that? Heaven forbid, because if you live in sin, God won't answer your prayers. He won't heal you. He won't this. He won't that. He'll reject your kids. How many know there's teaching out there when sometimes God takes your kids to teach you something because you just weren't listening? That would have been a good place to put that. That's not what he said. He said, how can you, who have died to sin because you're now in Christ, in other words, your nature has been changed, how can you keep living in something that you're dead to? See, the church, a lot of people in the church haven't considered this. But I've discovered this, that if you want to see certain results in people, you have to, if you're a minister, you have to preach those things. If you want people in your church to be healed, you have to preach on healing. If you want people to get born again, you have to teach the gospel, whether it's in the church or outside. How many of you know there's lots of churches people aren't even born again in them? You know how I know this? Because I've seen pastors who've gotten born again. How can their people be born again if he's not born again and he's the one teaching them? Guarantee he's not teaching them how to get born again because he wasn't born again. I've seen this over and over. If you're truly born again, you have a desire to live for God. Notice I said a desire. You may be failing at it in your opinion, but you have a desire at it for it. I've seen a lot of people just give up because it seems too difficult. Not because they don't want to, but they feel there's something wrong with me and I can't do it. So therefore they give up and just walk away because they feel that it's useless. 1 John 3:3 talks about why you live holy or why you purify yourself. It says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So it's because you have that hope of Christ that's on the inside of you. You know you belong to him because Jesus is pure. How many of you know Jesus is pure? Where does he now live? On the inside of you. Every true born-again person, they have the desire to be pure even if they're failing at it. That's why Christians, some Christians are miserable. If you talk to most Christians that are unhappy, if they will be honest with you, it's because they think they're failing in the righteousness department. They may not use that exact phrase, but if you listen to them, somehow it's their performance that's missing. I wish I could do it. I just keep failing. Because they haven't been taught that the righteousness is of him and never fluctuates. How many of you know when you realize that your righteousness doesn't fluctuate, it puts you at peace. And you start living more righteously because you're at rest in him. There's something about rest that produces the life of God. But when we strive for the life of God, it seems to elude us. Oh God, I just want a relationship with you. And you feel like you never get it. But when you recognize that what God's done on the inside of you and how much he accepts you and you become at rest, all of a sudden relationship starts happening. The reason why we don't want to live in sin is because sin gives Satan access to your body and soul. This is where 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 comes in, talking about confession. But we're going to talk about that in lesson 12, so I'm not going to talk about that now. But in Romans 6:16, we have to understand one of the reasons we don't want to live in sin is because sin gives permission to the devil to wreak destruction in our lives. We've gave to the devil permission. So Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So folks, it does matter who you listen to. You know what I discovered? Listen, obedience in the New Testament, when you go back to the Greek, the root of obedience is to hear, and then is to act on what you hear. No wonder the devil tries to get us to doubt we hear God and to get us into a performance mentality trying to obey without hearing. What is hearing? Hearing is relationship. How many of you know it's easy to obey when you've heard God, when you know how much he loves you? But it's impossible to obey when you're trying to figure out what God wants. Because you feel like you're always missing it. You're going down a right path. Yes, you're trying to serve. Yes, you're trying to do this. But you're still not sure whether what you're doing is what you're supposed to be doing. And so the devil will use that, even a good thing you're doing, and say, it's not quite it. If you missed that teaching last week on the will of God, go and listen to that. It wasn't a long teaching. It was just a snippet. So it's to your advantage to live holy because your actions and attitudes determine how you get along with people. How many of you discovered that? How many of you know God can love us, but how we act in this world towards people and others determines a whole lot with how they view us and whether or not we have good interactions with them. But it's not because God stopped loving us. I don't know about you, but knowing that I can relate to God based on the perfection, the holiness, and the righteousness that's in my spirit that God created it with, it has set me free from sin, not set me free to sin. I don't know about you, but grace sets you free from sin. It doesn't set you free to sin. If anybody is living in sin, listen to me. If anybody's living in sin and blaming grace for it, they're not actually under grace. They're under their own opinion of what grace is. Because grace, we just read in Romans 6:14, says, sin does not have dominion over you when you're under grace. Actually, if you're being dominated by sin, you're under law. That's what it says. I didn't say that. You know what law is in that context? A system of self, being wrapped up in yourself and your own performance, etc. So because I know that God relates to me based on the work that He's done in me, it frees me and it makes my relationship with Him stable and secure. How many of you have received such a security in your relationship with God since understanding that He's your righteousness, that He loves you, that He's not keeping you at arm's length? How many of you ever felt at arm's length from God before? You know you were not at arm's length from God, in other words, from His direction, but from your direction, without recognizing it. How many have discovered with this understanding, if you're truly walking in it, it helps you to live holier on accident than you ever tried to before? You know, I live holy because I want to, not because I have to, or God won't love me. How many know God loves us? While we were yet sinners, while we were yet His enemies, He died for us. How much more, the Bible says, right? Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You know, there's much more love available to us as His children than there was before we were His child. But yet before we were His child, He demonstrated His love towards us, and that He died for us while we were His enemy. So it's even better now that we're His child. So often we think there was more love and grace available to us before we came to Christ than now after we've come to Christ. There's less grace and love available because now we should know better. That's a lie from the devil. The only way we ever know better is if we're abiding in Him, because He is our better way. I mean, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So if you abide in Him, you're in the life, you're in the truth, and you're in the right way. Amen? So God will still love me even if I sin because my spirit has been changed, but I wouldn't love me and other people wouldn't either. How many discover when you sin, you really have to have faith to not be so disgusted with yourself? Am I the only one that gets disgusted when I blow it? You get disgusted sometimes? You know why you get disgusted? Because God's in there and your desires have changed. Your nature's changed. If you get disgusted when you do something that's wrong, it's because your nature has changed and you're now acting contrary to who you are. Amen? So living holy doesn't make God love you more, but it does increase your love for Him. Do you know that? See, when you're abiding in Him, it affects you positively in a great way. When you're abiding in His love, how many of you know Jesus said in John chapter 15, I think it was around verse 9, He said, abide in my love. As the Father, let's just look there real quickly. John chapter 15, verse 9 says, as the Father loved me. How many of you believe that God had only a little bit of love towards Jesus? How many think that the love meter was pegged out for the Father's love for Jesus? So notice where it says in John 15, 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. In other words, the same degree the Father loves me is the same degree I love you. Abide in my love. Amen. So a lack of holiness won't cause God to love you less, but it will definitely decrease your love for Him. In other words, you get distracted. You start being pulled away, whether by guilt or by anything else. And the only way that we can continue walking in His love is by abiding in it. And we're going to talk about one of the reasons why the devil tries to get us to sin. We're going to talk about that in lesson 12. It's going to be awesome. But although God's love for you doesn't change, your performance directly affects your love for Him. Sin is never a wise choice, but it's also never a separating issue between God and you. See, I like to put it God and you. See, sometimes we can let sin separate us from God, but God has not separated Himself from us. How many of you understand what I'm saying? When we sin and we blow it, and we get so discouraged, we stew in it for a while. You know what's the dangerous place to be? Because the devil will just come up and lie to you and say, you might as well just go full bore now. That's why you need to abide in his love. That's why you need to run directly to the throne of grace. I mean, you know, Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. In context, it's talking about temptation. So when we're tempted, we're supposed to run straight to God, not run away from God, trying to handle it in our own strength to prove to God we're stronger than that. That's the dumbest thing you can do. You're not stronger than that, and Jesus knows that. That's why he said, come to me. If you try to handle anything in your own strength, you're going to fail, period. So sin's never a wise choice, but it's also never a separating issue between God and you. He dealt with your sin, past, present, and future, when you were born again. We looked at that last week. You have eternal redemption. You have an eternal inheritance because he offered himself without spot through the eternal spirit. Amen. So you can still come boldly into the very presence of your Father and receive from him because your spirit didn't lose any of its right standing with him. That's just incredible news. That takes revelation because that is not based on natural sense knowledge. How many of you understand? Because when you sin, you feel terribly and you think, man, I just lost my standing with God. No, you didn't. You lost your perception of your right standing with him. And that's why confession is so powerful. And we're going to talk about that in lesson 12. So you can still come boldly into the very presence of your Father and receive from him because your spirit didn't lose any of its right standing with him. Already said that. And it's quoting Hebrews 4:16, but already quoted that. Therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So your heavenly Father has invited you to draw near to his throne at any time by faith in his Son and who you are in him. Amen. We have to do that. We have to run after him, especially when you blow it. Don't try to fix it first. How many of you understand the reason you blew it? Because you had your eyes on something else. So obviously you couldn't fix it first because you wouldn't have done it first if you could have fixed it. The only way we walk in victory is by these things staying solely on him. Every time we take our eyes off of him, we're in danger. See, God knows long before we ever blow it that we were on the course to blowing it. We're the ones who are shocked. Because God knows that we walk in victory when we keep our eyes on him. So if we're getting distracted by all these things, and if we don't course correct that by getting our eyes back on him, he knows eventually somewhere we're going to blow it. Because we can't, on our own power, in our own ability, live this life. Amen. We have to trust Jesus. He's good. He loves us. He's not holding us at arm's length. He's there for us at all times. Amen.